Om Shanti, Namaskar, a very warm welcome to you to our next session. In the previous sessions, we have been discussing about the various belief systems about God. And we just came to know that the real form of God, Shiva, is the point of light. And his name is Shiva, which has actually the meaning. The real meaning is the point, the seed, and the bestower of happiness. So God Shiva always bestows happiness. Now, there have been lot of questions. There are lot of concerns regarding these two names, Shiva and Shankar. We have to have the information, the knowledge about what is the difference between Shiva and Shankar. From time immemorial, we have been listening these two names together. And we have always understood both of them as same. But there have been a lot of difference. But there is a lot of difference between these two personalities, these two entities. Because the Supreme Soul and the Deity Soul, the Shiv Paramatma, God Shiva is the Supreme Soul. And Shankar is the Deity. He is the Akari Devta. He is the one who is having a body. So he is a body form, he is a deity, and God Shiva is the Supreme Soul. He is the father of all souls. From where this misunderstanding came in our lives. So we need to know that. Because in the past time, when we started remembering God Shiva as Jyotirlingam, when we started remembering God Shiva and we made temples of God Shiva, people of that time, they were having this understanding that if there is God, God has to be in the form of light. So they made a Shivling. And all the ancient temples that you see in India, they all have Shiva temples, and in the Shiva temple, they have put a Shivling there. There is no Shankar's Pratima, there is no idol of Shankar there. So the Shivlinga is always put in the front, and people used to concentrate on the Shivling. And there is a point in the mid of the middle row, there is a point when we have three rows made on three lines made on the Shivling. On the middle line we always concentrate. In the same way, when we used to remember God Shiva, so what happened actually that the sages used to say that whenever you remember Shiva, you should always have the company of God Shiva. So Shiva Sangkar, have the company of God Shiva, and that got reciprocated as Shiva Shankar. So we started saying these things, Shiva Shankar, altogether, but the real meaning was that you have to have company of God Shiva, and that's how we misunderstood Shiva and Shankar as same. Now Radha and Krishna, they both are two different personalities, two different entities. Similarly, Shri Ram and Shri Sita, they both are two different entities, and similarly Shiva and Shankar, these are the names which are used, which are said altogether, but they both are two different entities. Now, what is the difference between Shiva and Shankar? The one is Shiv Paramatma is incorporeal. He is just a point of light. But when we talk about Shankar, Shankar resides in the subtle region. Shankar resides in Sukshma Lok, in the subtle region, the subtle world. Then Shiv Paramatma is the creator, but Shankar is the creation of God Shiva. Then Shiv Paramatma, God Shiva is the benefactor, the one who gives happiness to everyone, the one who bestows us with lot of powers and bliss, the one who gives us anand every time. But when we talk about Shankar, we always talk of the destruction part. We always relate Shankar with the destruction. We say Shankar is the deity of destruction. Is the small G-O-D, that's what we refer to Shankar, not the capital G-O-D. So there is a difference. The one who teaches us yoga, the one who gives us the basic method of Raj Yoga, is Yogeshwar, God Shiva, and Shankar is the one who is meditating. The Shankar is the one who is having that tapasvi form. So he is a yogi. He is remembering God Shiva. So when we see, when we go to a temple of Shankar, you would always see a God Shiva's idol always in front of him. You will always see the Shivling in front of Shankar. So even Shankar ji is remembering God Shiva. He is concentrating on God Shiva. And he is in remembrance, he is lean, he is engulfed in the remembrance of God Shiva. So with all these differences between Shiva and Shankar, we should always refer to God Shiva as the God, as the one who is my father, and Shankar as a deity. So we always say that when the third eye of Shankar is going to open, there is going to be destruction everywhere. So what is that time? When is the third eye is going to get open? So why the eye of Shankar is closed? So Shankar is having a closed eye. That means that he is not God, because God always have to have his third eye open. God eyes are always open. His eyes should never be closed. So when a deity's eye is closed, that means he's not performing his duty at the moment. He's right now lean in his tapasya. So Shankar is not performing his duty at the moment. His third eye is closed, but when it will open, when he will get the knowledge, when he'll get the real gyan, then his third eye will open and then the destruction will happen. So Shankar's occupation is different and Shiva's occupation is different. Now, as we go to a temple of God Shiva, we offer a lot of things on God Shiva. We are actually adorning the Shivling with lot of things like milk, like water, like belpatra, like the akh flower, like bhang and dhatura. So what is the significance of all these things? We have to have understanding that what is the meaning of all these things and why we are offering. From a very long time we have been offering, we have been adorning these things, we are putting these things on Shivlinga, and we are now, why we are adorning all Shivling with all these things? These things have got some meaning. Now the meaning of milk, putting milk on Shivlinga. Why are we putting milk on Shivlinga? Milk is something which is related to as the symbol of purity. Milk is related to as to have a clean character. We need to have a clean character like milk. Milk is something which is white in color. So we need to have truthfulness inside us. We need to have purity inside us. We need to have integrity inside us. So God Shiva said that make your character, make your personality like a milk. But what we are doing, we are not making changes in our personality, we are not making changes in ourselves, and we are putting that milk on Shivlinga and we are offering that milk on Shivlinga, thinking that Shiva will be satisfied with just offering the milk. But no. Change yourself, make yourself as pure as milk, make yourself as white as milk, make your character as pure as milk. So next thing is water. What is the significance of water? Water is compared, water's quality is Sheetalta, water's quality is peacefulness, water gives a soothing feel to all of us, a very cool feel to all of us. It is the purity of the water that actually we can relate to. We want pure water, we want cool effect of water. So it is related to peace. So when we are putting water on Shivlinga, Shiv Paramatma said that make your character like water, make your mind as peaceful as water, make your thoughts as serene, make your personality calm, and bring peace in your life and happiness in your life. But we were not doing that, and we were just putting water on Shivlinga, thinking that God Shiva will be satisfied with that. Then we are having another thing called akh flower. Now, akh flower is poisonous in nature. And human beings, we all nowadays have got so many poisonous behavioral patterns. We all have got so many behavioral, you may say vices we have. All those vices like kaam, krodh, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. All these vices are really like some poison that we are consuming on the daily basis, which is making us hollow from inside, which is making us empty from inside. So we need to remove these vices, we need to offer, we need to sacrifice these vices and give these vices back to God Shiva. But what we are doing, we are not giving these vices us, we are not removing these vices from our personality, but we are offering akh flower, which is poisonous in nature, to God Shiva, thinking that he will be satisfied. Then again we are having bhang and dhatura. Both these things are having some intoxication in them. So we need these things for intoxication. So there are a lot of intoxications in the world. There are a lot of drugs that people nowadays take, a lot of things like cigarettes, like alcohol, and there are a lot of other things that we are engaged in doing nowadays. For example, there is internet addiction, there is mobile phone addiction. So a lot of other addictions are there. So now when God Shiva said you have to remove all those addictions, you have to give up all those addictions, but we have not given any addiction, but we started to offer those things which are some kind of intoxicating things, which are some kind of things that create addictions. So we started offering those things to God, on God Shiva, and that's how we started the process of putting dhatura and bhang as bhog for God Shiva. And we are nowadays having those bhang and dhatura whenever there is Mahashivratri. We are consuming it ourselves. But God said that remove all these addictions from your life. Then we are having another thing, it's called Belpatra. Now, what is the significance of Belpatra? Belpatra is having three leaves, and those three leaves are connected with one stick and with one point, and the meaning of it is God Shiva, who is Trimurti, who is the one who creates, who does the task of creation, who does the task of sustenance, and who does the task of destruction through three deities, and those deities are Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar. So we always say Trimurti Shiva, we always say Triloki Nath to God Shiva. Triloki Nath means the one who is the owner of all the three lokas, who is the owner of all the three abodes. So we always say God as Trinetri, because he is the one who gives us the third eye. And that is the reason why we put three lines on the Shivling, and we put a point in the middle, in the center. The meaning of that is God Shiva is the Trimurti Shiva, Shiva is the Triloki Nath, and Shiva is the Trinetri one. So all these qualities are related with God Shiva, and that is the reason why we are putting so many things on Mahashivratri and on the rest of the days whenever we meet, whenever we see God Shiva temple. But the meaning, the real essence of all these things are nowadays forgiven. So whenever you put milk, water or akh flower or bhang, dhatura, belpatra, God Shiva is not going to get impressed with all these things. But make your personality like milk, make your personality as pure as milk, as white as milk, make your character as white as milk. Bring transparency in your relationships, in your interactions. Make your character as, make your mind as peaceful as water. And remove all your vices and remove all your addictions and remove all your intoxications. And just have the intoxication of remembering God. The soul should have the intoxication of remembering God in whatever you do. You do it in remembrance of God Shiva, and then all your works, all your karma is going to get improved. So that is the meaning of offering all these things on God Shiva. Now we celebrate Shivratri. What is the significance of Shivratri? Why are we celebrating Shivratri? Shivratri, it is a very unique name in itself, because whenever we celebrate birthday of someone, we always celebrate it in the day. Shri Krishna's birthday is celebrated, and Shri Ram's birthday is celebrated, even Ganesha's birthday is celebrated, and we also celebrate our birthdays. But Shiva is the one for whom we always say we are celebrating his birth night. And that's why we say it Shivratri. So why is that the God Shiva has to come in the night? And why we always say that what night was that? Why we always refer it as night? Even if a child is nowadays born in the night, we always say it is birthday. But for God Shiva, it is called birth night. It has to have some reference. It has to have some secret behind it. The secret is that the incarnation of the Supreme Soul Shiva only happens during the darkness of ignorance, when there is Kaliyug, when the Kaliyug is at its peak, when the Kaliyug has come to its end. That's the time when God Shiva has to incarnate, because incarnation of God Shiva should be the time when all the souls of the world are in grief, when all the souls of the world are feeling that we want a new world. Nowadays, scientists, even people, are searching for life in other planets because we feel the earth is no more, you know, capable of sustaining us for long, because all the resources are becoming scarce nowadays, and we are living a life of life which is, you know, the climate is completely out of control. We are moving right now in an era where things are getting impossible day by day. So when all the souls of the world are in pain, are in grief, and we see there is a lot of transformation in the last few years, because there have been misbehavior, misconduct, and there have been unrighteousness everywhere, and we see there is lot of ignorance. Even if we have lot of knowledge, even if we have got lot of books, but still people are searching for the real truth, and there is no one who can tell us the truth. So there is falsehood everywhere, there is unrighteousness everywhere, corruption everywhere, we can't trust anyone, we can't even trust people of our own family. So that is the situation. No one is happy, and this is the world which is actually ruled by the five vices nowadays. Those vices are lust, anger, greed, attachment and ego, and these vices have a big family of them, and that big family has occupied the whole of the earth, and we all are now suffering. We all are now victims of all these vices. So then the God Shiva comes, and he gives us power so that we can remove these vices, we can kill these vices, we can overcome these vices. And when God Shiva, with the spiritual knowledge that God Shiva comes and gives, with this spiritual knowledge, a new awakening happens, a new thing, a new life is there. We feel so much of change in ourselves, and that is the meaning of Shivratri. Because in this kind of darkness, in this kind of ignorance, God Shiva has to come. God Shiva has to bestow happiness to us. God Shiva has to give us the blessing. God Shiva has to give us the blessing of purity, peace and prosperity. So that is the time when we really need the light of knowledge on earth. And that is the time when God Shiva comes. So that is the reason why we celebrate Shivratri. Now, when we talk about the occupation of God in detail, there have been lot of things being told in several religions. Like in Christianity, we talk about Holy Trinity, where we see the occupation of God being divided by three persons. One is the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they all together, the three of them are deciding what should be done and what knowledge should be given to the people. Then we are having in Islam we are having four angels of Allah who are telling us, who are guiding us, and God is using these four angels to tell people what is the time right now and how to prepare. For example, the one of the angel is Jibril, and that Holy Spirit is the one who is conveying the message of God, who is conveying the message of Allah, and bringing an awakening in everyone. Then we have another angel, Azrael. Azrael is the angel of death. and that is bringing death to everyone. You can say it is the angel of destruction. So it is bringing death to everyone. Then we are having another angel of Israfil. Israfil is the angel of the trumpet, the one who is making this warning to everyone, bringing awareness to everyone that we are coming close to the time of judgment. We are coming close to the time of end of Kali Yuga, and this is the time when we all have to pay all our debts, when we all have to settle all our karmic accounts, and we have to go back. So that is the task given to Israfil. And then there is another angel, it's called Mikael. So this angel is doing the task of sustaining. This angel is bringing rain everywhere. This angel is bringing the green revolution everywhere. The one who is bringing the seasons. So this angel is doing the task of sustenance, of palana, you can say. So these four angels are being referred to in Islam, that these are the four angels which are working for Allah to establish things and to demolish things and to bring the humanity are working on the earth to make some change. Then in similarly, when we talk about Hindu religion, the divine acts of Trimurti Shiva are being described by three deities, that God is performing his task through three deities, and those three deities are, one is Brahma, one is Vishnu, and another one is Shankar. Now, what is the significance of these three deities? Brahma, as we talk about, Brahma is the one who is doing the task of generation, who is doing the task of sthapana, the one who is the creator along with the God. That is why we see the G part in the God is for generation, the generation of the new world, the changing of the new world, the transformation. So, Brahma, when we see Brahma in our scriptures, there is a lot of description of Brahma, but there is not much temples of Brahma that we see in India. There is not much worship happening of Brahma. There is just one temple of Brahma. It's in Pushkar. But what is the task of Brahma? You always see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower. So what is the significance of Brahma sitting on the lotus flower? In our scriptures, we are having a whole description of Brahma. The lotus flower signifies that a lotus is always, you know, blooming in the muddy water. In the kitchen. So when you see that muddy water and when you see that spoiled water and the lotus is blooming in that water, we will never see the muddy water. We will never see the kitchen. We will always see the lotus and the beauty of the lotus. We'll always admire the beauty of the lotus. Why? Because the lotus is not touching it. So we need to have our life. The Brahma had a life where he is living in this world only. He belonged to the Kali Yuga only. He was a person who was residing in this Kali Yuga, but his life was not touching or not affected with the negativities of this world. His life was absolutely just like a lotus, and he was blooming in this world just like a lotus. And lotus is so pure. The lotus is having an entire family of his beneath the water. It is having a full family. So the one who is Brahma, he is also living in his family, but God acquires his body, God takes his body as an instrument, and he gives this knowledge through his body, because God Shiva is immortal, God Shiva is Akal Murad, God Shiva is unborn, he can't take birth, he is not like us, he is not like the soul who can take birth from the mother's womb, so he has to take someone else's body so that he can give this knowledge to us. So he acquires the body of a human being of this world only, so that he can give this knowledge to us. So he takes the body of someone and he names him as Brahma. And he gives this information through his mouth. He uses his bodily karmendriya. He uses his subtle organs, his sense organs, and uses them. Now, when we see Brahma in our scriptures, the description of Brahma, we are having lot of scriptures in his hand. The meaning of that is when God Shiva, he incarnates into the body of Brahma, of someone of this world, God Shiva explains us the essence of all the scriptures. What is the meaning of all the scriptures? That is why we have shown Brahma having all the scriptures in his hand. then we have shown that Brahma is having four mouths, the Brahma is having four heads. So what is the significance of having four heads? This means that when Shiv Paramatma, when God Shiva comes and incarnates into body of Brahma, the knowledge that he gives, that knowledge goes and travels to each and every direction. It goes to north, south, east, west, each and every direction in the whole world, that knowledge resonates. And people of all backgrounds hear this knowledge, and people of all backgrounds try to transform themselves and bring some change in themselves. So that is the reason why the four heads of Brahma are shown. Next, in our scriptures it is written that when Brahma created the task of generation, the lot of children were born through his mouth. Then how it is possible that people are coming from someone's mouth? So the reason for that is when God Shiva comes and incarnates into the body of Brahma, whatever information, whatever knowledge that God Shiva gives to us, we are born. Or the children who listen to this information, the people who listen to this knowledge, they are bringing change in themselves. And by bringing change in themselves, their whole personality is changed. Their whole life transforms. And this is the reason why we say that a new life is there. A person is born again. I have got awakening and I have awakened, and this is my new life. This is my new birth. So this is what we say. Nowadays, we as Brahmins, we as people, we are the ones who have listened to this knowledge and applied this knowledge in our life, and we have had a new birth in our life. We don't remember our past karmas now. Of the same birth, we don't remember anything. We don't even refer to that birth. We don't even talk about those things because we are in a new birth now. Because with this information, with this knowledge that we have had in our life, that we heard from God Shiva, we have brought lot of changes in our personality, lot of changes in ourselves. So that is an awakening, that is our new birth. So that is how we are working to bring a new generation of that is how we are bringing new change, that is how we are bringing new world, by changing ourselves. So this is the task of generation that God Shiva performs through Brahma. Now the next comes Shankar. The task of generation and the task of destruction are happening simultaneously, because it is the generation of the new world and the destruction of the old world. So those tasks have to be done simultaneously. So we are seeing that Shankara is devoted to accomplish this task of destruction. So he has acquired a tapasvi roop. He has renunciated everything. He is the one who is doing that task. But how this task is to be done? So we always say that when his third eye will open, the task of destruction will, you know, automatically start. So when we all will become yogi, when we all will become a tapasvi, and when this third eye of knowledge of all of us is going to get open, then the destruction will automatically happen. So in reality, there is no one like Shankar who is going to come one day and who is going to do this destruction. The destruction will automatically happen, but we need to have our third eye open. And why destruction is necessary? Destruction is a process which will happen, because in order to bring something new, you have to eradicate, you have to discard the old thing. The world is going to be the same. The transformation process is a very beautiful process. It is just like you're having a new home for your own self. When you have an old home, you always feel you want to have a new home for yourself, because the old home is no more, you know, able to sustain you for a longer time. You are having lot of problems in your old home. So you want to build a new home for yourself. So when you are building a new home, you won't have any thoughts of the old home. You will be demolishing it. completely. So why you are demolishing it? Because you want to build a new one. Similarly, the whole world is now in crisis. Everything is in crisis. The climate is changing. The five elements are out of control. Even our life is out of control. We have got lot of vices. Lot of things are not proper in this world. Now to bring a new world order, the God's task is to demolish the old world, is to transform the old world and make a new world. So this transformation is done through our tapasvi roop, through only yoga, through only meditation. And through this knowledge, when our third eye opens, the task of destruction is done. Now, the next thing is Vishnu. When we talk about Vishnu, we always see Vishnu as standing. Because that vision, because Vishnu is a vision, and this task of Vishnu is still pending, and the task of Vishnu, we have to acquire the position of Vishnu, we have to be like Vishnu. What is Vishnu? So let us just understand the meaning of Vishnu. Vishnu is having four hands. Vishnu is a combined form of Lakshmi and Narayan. God's vision is to transform the world, to bring change in the world. So He wants to make a world where every woman is just like Lakshmi, where every man is just like Narayan. So when the woman is going to do some actions, or all the actions of the woman is going to be like Lakshmi, all the Lakshan or all the symptoms of a woman's personality would be like Lakshmi, then she would become Lakshmi. And when the Nar is going to perform the karma like Narayan, then the world is going to transform. So the combined form of both of them, Lakshmi and Narayan, is called Vishnu. So we want to have a world where each and every woman can be said that she is a Lakshmi. And we want to have a world where each and every man can be referred to as Narayan. So we want to transform this world of real gods and goddesses, deities. So we want to make the world as heaven. We want to make the world as paradise. We want to make the world as Jannat. So that is the vision of God, to bring paradise on earth, to make India, to make the whole world as a golden sparrow, as completely fulfilled and as completely, having everything, having all the virtues, having all the values. So how to bring that? So Vishnu is our aim. So that is why he is standing. That is why, because that aim, we still have to achieve that aim. Now let us see what is the significance of all the four hands of Vishnu. So in one hand he is having Gada. Gada means mace. So why does Vishnu have to carry a gada always with him? He is not having any enemies. And is he having any kind of danger of someone being attacking on him every time? No. Then why is he carrying gada with him? Does he need any kind of protection? No. There is no protection needed to him. There is no danger to him. No one is going to come and kill Vishnu. But he is still holding this gada every time with him. So why is he doing that? So gada is the symbol. It symbolizes attainment of victory over all vices and weaknesses. We need to have the gada, we need to have the mace of knowledge. With this in knowledge, we are fighting with our weaknesses. Because these weaknesses of ours, the weaknesses of the soul, sometimes we actually feel so down and we are demotivated. Sometimes we feel like defeated. We face lot of failures because of our weaknesses. So whenever there is a weakness, whenever we are let down with someone, whenever we feel lot of negativities inside us, we have to fight with those negativities. We have to protect ourselves from those negativities. So how to protect yourself? So get yourself this gada of knowledge. So today we are giving you the gada of knowledge. All of you will be having this gada now, this knowledge that you are your real aim is to become like Vishnu. Your real aim is to become a victorious soul, to become a powerful soul. You are a child of God. Nothing can happen to you. So with this knowledge, you can overcome all your vices and all your weaknesses. And that is the meaning of holding the gada. The next thing is Swadarshan Chakra. Now, what is the meaning of Swadarshan Chakra? As the name itself signifies, Swadarshan means Sudarshan. The someone who understand or realizes the self, what I am. Will Vishnu be killing people by just cutting their throat? No, that is Hinsa. And for Vishnu, for all the deities, we say Ahinsa Parmo Dharam. Means their biggest religion is to be a non-violent person or having a non-violent personality. Then why would Vishnu be having a Swadarshan Chakra and why would he be killing people by just cutting their throats? So that is not the thing that Vishnu did. But cutting the throat of the abhiman, of the anger that we have, the cutting the throat of the ego that we have, cutting the throat of the feeling of insult that we have. Nowadays we feel a lot of ego in us. Nowadays we are having the feelings of insult, the feelings of jealousy, and then lot of other things. So those things are actually making our progress, are stopping our progress. Those are the things which are the biggest obstacles in our lives. So we have to remove all these obstacles. We have to overcome our ego. We have to remove the feelings of insult. We should not feel hurt every time because we are so much affected with the negativities of the other people. So kill all those things. Cut the throat of ego. Cut the throat of abhiman. Cut the throat of insult and hurt and always having the sorrows and having the feelings of sorrow. So remove these feelings. Cut the throat of these feelings. And just concentrate on yourself, that who you are, and have the feeling that, do the Sudarshan, means have the feeling that who you are, the realization of the self as a point of light and what your role is. Your role is to give happiness to others. Your role is to give bliss to others, to give peace to others. Even if someone is trying to create problems in your life, but you have to have good feelings for them, blessings for them, so that no other karmic accounts are created and you don't have those feelings again. Okay, now the next thing is Shankh, the conch shell. The shell we are blowing every time for wherever there is auspicious get together, we are blowing the conch shell in the temples. But why we are blowing the conch shell? What is the meaning of the shankh? The shankh or the whatever the sound comes out of the conch shell is very auspicious. This sound is very soothing to our ears. So this mouth of ours, this mouth is also like a shankh. This mouth is also like a conch shell. So well, the voice that is coming out of it, the words that are coming out of it, they have got a lot of power. But nowadays we are misusing that power. We are putting those words to someone. We are speaking those words to someone who are hurting someone. So we need to change ourselves. We need to change our speech. We need to change what we speak. We have to have some really good interactions with people, because the words that we speak, they are going to have lasting impact on the person, because people don't forget your words. So those words is going to, resonate every time that person for the rest of his life. So just speak sweetly and speak what is necessary. If it is not necessary, don't speak. So speak less, speak sweetly, and think before you speak. So this is what the meaning of shankh is. So some sweet words should come and the blessing should come out of your mouth and the revelation of God should happen from you. And you should become a symbol that you are becoming like Vishnu, you are becoming like a deity. A deity's words are always blessings. So when you become like a deity, when you are a transformed person, your voice, your interactions, your speech is going to be improved every time. Okay, so that is the meaning of conch shell. Then the next is lotus. as we just heard the meaning of lotus. What is the meaning? No, lotus symbolizes purity and detachment while being in the household. So lotus is always with its family. So make your life like a lotus. Make your life as pure and as detached as lotus. Lotus is the most beautiful flower. It is the king of all the flowers. It is a symbol of complete detachment, that you are living with your family, but you are not engulfed in the attachments of with your family. You are not dying for them. You are not hurt. You are just giving them. You are paying your responsibilities. You are doing everything for them. You are always honest in your undertakings. Whatever interactions you have honest interactions with everyone. You are always giving to them. You are giving love to them. You are always peaceful in your interactions. So all these qualities you have to possess while being in your household or whichever interaction you have, even at your workplace, wherever you are working. Live a life just like a lotus. You should give the feel as if you are a flower. You are not a thorn. Give the feeling that you are a flower. Okay, so this is the personality that we all have to make. These are the elements that are shown, that are the qualities of Vishnu. This is the vision of God Shiva, that we all should become like Vishnu, who is having all these qualities. So that is why Vishnu is our vision. Vishnu is our aim that we want to achieve. And we want to make a world where Lakshmi and Narayan is going to rule. The world of Lakshmi, the world of deities, the world of Narayan is going to come. So each and every human being should become like an angel, like a deity. So that is the task of God. That is the real occupation of God. So that's how we just came to know about all the things about God. We now know the name of God is God Shiva. His form is point of light. He resides in the supreme abode, Paramdham we call it. His occupation is to generate the new world. His occupation is to destroy the old world and make us like pure human beings like Vishnu. And his qualifications, lot of qualifications that we heard. So there are everything now explained. Everything is so clear in front of you. So let us now meditate for a few minutes. And we shall be detaching ourselves. I am a pure being of light, a peaceful being of light. A blissful being of light. A shining star. I have had all the knowledge now about my Supreme Father. An awakening has come inside me. Now I have understood what my aim in life is. Initially, I was pulled with the negativities of the world, but now I have understood that my destiny is in my hand. God Himself is making my destiny, teaching me, telling me, and guiding me. That I have to make my life pure, happy, peaceful, and detached. Now, I'm going to live a life just like a lotus flower. I won't be hurting anyone. And I won't get hurt anymore. I will be using the maze of knowledge to overcome my weaknesses. I will be a very strong person. I will strengthen myself, become a powerful being. All my interactions in this world are going to be peaceful. I shall be giving happiness to everyone. Love to everyone. I will forgive and forget my past interactions, and I will move ahead. Becoming a good and responsible human being. Transformation has come inside me. I thank God for opening my third eye and